Butler, May 9th, 1904. Elder Butler, the time has come when we must not give our consent for our young people to be called to Battle Creek. They should receive a different spiritual discipline from that which they would receive in Battle Creek. Satan's working in Eden is ever before me. Unless we follow a firm, straightforward course, souls will be lost. There is, in this age, a growing knowledge that is dangerous to piety and to faith in the truth. There are various phases of truth that do not decidedly affect the salvation of the soul. Whether a man accepts them or not is of little account. One views them in one way and one in another. But there are truths which declare what everyone must do in order to be saved. Men may know the truth in theory and yet, neglecting to practice it, may be lost. Only those who have an experimental knowledge of the truth can be saved. I have confidence in you, my brother, and I do not want you to take the wrong side on questions that mean so much just now. As you come to the meeting at Berrien Springs, come leaning on no man's judgment, but on the word of the living God. Brother Butler, let us, you and brother and sister Haskell, Brother Daniels and Brother Prescott, and I, unite to strengthen one another. If those at the head of the work will unite to fulfill the requirements of God, to be one in all matters of truth, God will greatly bless them. Brother Daniels made a mistake at Nashville, but he has acknowledged this mistake. If we keep this error in our minds, more ready to judge and condemn our brother than to strengthen and help him, we shall hinder the cause of God. We must not be suspicious when we know, and I do know, that the Lord has chosen Brother Daniels and Brother Prescott as men of opportunity to do his work in certain lines. These men have in their hearts to love and strengthen and support you and Brother and Sister Haskell. I hear nothing but good words from their lips about you and Edson and Brother and Sister Haskell. If you will all pull together, the blessing of God will certainly be with you to cheer and uplift. You are to hold fast to Christ and to your brethren. Do not judge Elder Daniels by appearances or by what you think he ought to do. Put yourself in his place. A great many letters come to him, telling of the needs of different places. He has to consider prayerfully the necessities of each case and send help first to the place where the need is greatest. Were you in his place, you might not do as well as he has done to answer the many calls that come for means and workers. Men should be appointed to visit our churches and camp meetings and solicit means for the enterprises needing help. Elder Daniels cannot do this work. It belongs to other men. Let not God's workers watch for faults in their fellow men. All ye are brethren. Many times I have known brethren experienced and highly esteemed, when making a mistake, to be spoken to thus. I told you so, and now, you see, the matter is working out as I said it would. But the one who had made the mistake needed encouragement, not censure. He may feel very deeply over the blunder he has made. The Lord loves him and pardons him. The mistakes of the one who blames him may be far greater than his. We are to love as brethren. A brother's mistake is not always to have a place in our minds, to be thought of as a triumph, for that brings no strength to the soul. I know how Elder Daniels and Elder Prescott stand. I know they have many trials and difficulties to meet. I have confidence in them, because when they have been reproved for their mistakes, they have acknowledged them. At one time, Elder Daniels did hinder the work by a lack of faith, but we went right on doing our best and did not refer to the blunder. Afterward, when Elder Daniels saw his mistake, he referred to it with great regret. Once he said, "You saved my soul by not saying anything to me of my error before I righted myself. I was so sore over my error that if you had said anything, I fear I should not have taken it kindly. Oh, how grateful I felt to you for your patience and your words of encouragement." Brother Butler, let us, you and Brother Haskell and I, Grow old gracefully. God desires you to stand for him as a light bearer. Let us encourage one another. I am given messages to bear to the erring, but because of this, I do not lose my interest in the one reproved, but continue to encourage him. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. 1 Peter 3, verse 8. We need now, just now, the impartation of the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus has much to bear in dealing with us. He is hurt when we hurt one another. Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, he says, ye have done it unto me. Matthew 25, verse 40. I have a message to bear for my ministering brethren. The Lord calls upon you to love one another as Christ has loved you. Cease your censuring and draw together in harmony. Respond to the invitation, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Matthew 11, verse 29. Christ has pledged himself to renovate the soul through the influence of sacred truth. This truth, received into the heart, will soften and subdue, refine and purify. The outworking of this truth in the life gives evidence of the transforming power of the grace of Christ. It brings a wisdom that is divine in its healing strength. This is life eternal, to know God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. All other knowledge is inferior to this. Christ is working continually to help and strengthen his ministers. By his Spirit, he seeks to change the heart and bring the powers of the whole man into harmony with his will. To all who receive him, he gives power to become the sons of God. My brother, shall we not be laborers together with God? That we may accomplish the work given us, he promises us power that we can scarcely comprehend it. He promises to bring us from darkness into light. Until this is done, the soul is not free. He will change enmity to love and impurity to purity. By taking the things of heaven and showing them to the soul, he will make men and women sons and daughters of God. This world, then, is our school, in which we are to prepare for heaven. Even when we are old and gray-haired, we are given lessons to learn. By beholding Christ, we are to be changed into his image. We shall not be pronounced complete until the whole being is conformed to the likeness of the perfect pattern. If ye abide in me, whatsoever I command you. John 15, verse 7, 14. This is the science of salvation. May God help us to make it a part of our lives, that we may grow in grace and in a knowledge of the truth. Let us keep contention and envy and evil surmising out of our hearts. It is these things that keep so many of our church members in bondage. They allow their thoughts to dwell upon the defects of others and magnify little matters to great proportions. Let us educate ourselves to praise God instead of censuring our fellow beings. The Lord is pleased and glorified when he sees his children controlled by the Holy Spirit. Then shall we not cast Satan out of our hearts. Shall not the followers of Christ rejoice in him? When the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, the whole church was filled with light. Praise and thanksgiving to God ascended from every heart. Today, Christ is to be the chief object in all our thoughts. All our words and deeds are to express our thanksgiving for his love and mercy. The Savior's life is before us. It is our pattern. In all that we do, we are to seek the good of others. We are not to speak ill, but well of one another. When mistakes are made, these are not to be made the object of general conversation. Christ's direction is, tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Matthew 18, verse 15. Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another, and ye shall be healed. James 5, verse 16. Christ looks with sadness upon the church in which bickering and strife find place. The spirit of the enemy is harbored, and the spirit of God cannot enter. Satan has his workshop in heart and mind, and the words that are spoken dishonor God. Shall we not dismiss the enemy and let the peace of God rule in our hearts? We need to enter more deeply into the meaning of the science of Christianity. We need to make an entire consecration of body, soul, and spirit to God. Then we shall be able to work in a way that will honor Him. In the place of complaining and finding fault, let us offer to God the prayer, "Teach me thy way." Psalm 27, verse 11. Let each one submit to the cleansing of the Holy Spirit. Let those who have given way to evil thinking and evil speaking show sincere repentance. God cannot use those who find fault and criticize others. In the Scriptures, Christ is represented as walking in the midst of His churches. The divine presence is in our churches everywhere. Christ is ministering to His servants. The truth for this time is to be proclaimed by lips touched with a live coal from the divine altar. Our church members, reconverted, are to help the ministers. God's servants have their appointed work, and those who criticize and censure them know not what they are doing. They bear the message of heaven, and they are to be helped by the prayers and faith of God's people. The aged ministers are to be carefully and tenderly treated. We cannot spare one of them. The Lord would have them help one another and rejoice in Him. These tried warriors are to strengthen the faith of the people of God by relating their experience in connection with the building up of His work.